Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and wow, the fucking Dexter showrunners, are you that desperate to rebound after that terrible eighth season? Jesus, let it die already! And with me, I have...
Robert Downey Jr., pulling off the hood at Comic-Con, it's me, Rogers!
Oh, it was son me of a bitch.
All along, Rogers!
And!
So Adam Newton used to do a crossover episode of another show. Look, here's an idea. Call the Don't Swim, get the people at Smelly Friends, and...
So, who meets on whose turf? Is it gonna be Charlie and Pim going to the Abbott Elementary? Or is it just kind of the actual actors just walking around the Smiling Friends HQ? That is Station Matters.
It'll be Mr. Bosco going, "Hi there, kids. We're the Smiling Friends. We're here to help make you smile." And you hear Glup go, "Yes, we're very glad to be here, children."
And it makes me wonder, what the hell's going on?
It's an elementary school adventure.
Yeah, I can't do Charlie or Pim's voices, but I can do Glep and Alan pretty good.
Although, we'll say some might speculate. I mean, some might speculate it's always Sunny, considering, they're both in Philadelphia and they're both sort of Disney shows. I mean, Abbott is 20th Television and Warner Brothers, so...
Also, one show is on ABC, the other show is on cable, and has
far more
that you cannot get away with on broadcast TV.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe, yes, that might be out, but at least... But then, what about that idea is oh, shit.
Just crossovers as far as the eye can see.
Never mind. I'm not a crazy idea. They should just bring up Laser Wolf for me for one episode, but then again, that got written off, so that can't happen.
Okay, but see, here's the thing, though. Crazy ideas like this are why people have blogs, or they just make accounts on AO3. We have been granted an immense power, and we should use it as irresponsibly as possible. But anyway, here we are, episode 360. So, how's everyone's week been going?
Well, I survived the week as best I could. I'm still, in the grand scheme, not doing super well, but right now I'm fine. I'm in the middle of taking an entire week off of my work, which I desperately need. I have not done that in almost 3 years. Except I'm staying home and not going anywhere. Although I am going to see Deadpool and Wolverine because, I haven't seen it yet. But by the time this is out, I will have seen it because we live in Time Cop rules here.
You know, I've never seen Time Cop.
It's not a great movie, but it's a fun, bad movie.
Oh, hell yeah. Sounds like exactly my kind of Saturday night. Let's go, gamers.
Yeah. But, aside from that, I decided to get myself a new phone. It was time. My phone was getting very hot and the battery was draining very fast. So it was time to get it all sorted out. So it took a couple days to arrive because UPS is... about as unhelpful as possible when it comes to trying to arrange deliveries to happen at a certain time. So I had to take a day off of work so I could be at home to sign for it when it shows up. That's annoying to me, but I did get a new phone, an iPhone 15 Plus. Why didn't you wait for the new one? Because I don't care about all the extra AI crap that Apple is going to be throwing in next year. I need a phone with a big-ass battery that'll last me the whole day, and this does. Also, the reason why companies put new stuff in their phones every year, whether it's cameras or software or whatever, it's to get you to use your phone more often so the battery drains quicker so you buy a new phone next year. I want to keep this one for at least 3 years.
the circle of capitalism.
Yeah, late stage capitalism is a bitch. Ugh.
Yeah. I do not like it. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
It's been wet. And by that I mean it rained almost every day. Every day it rains 1 minute and then stop in the next, like, it's always wet and humid, and I hate it. I hate it when it's hot and it's raining, meaning get all wet and condensation and all that window shit that you always see in the morning where it's like the river feel like the earth sweated or some shit. I don't know.
Condensation.
Yeah, that. Let's see. Other than that, just the usual, got some writing done. Then this work, which has not been kicking my ass a lot. Well, not kicking my ass a lot, but it's like it's been just steady this week. It's not my step on my back type of pain, but that's all I gotta say.
Yeah. Well, there's a bitch. As for me, well, I did actually watch Deadpool and Wolverine, and I absolutely had a blast with it. As a fan, I was very thoroughly serviced. Giggity. Although I need to bring up something really funny. So, I watched this movie with my mom. She actually suggested it as, like, a weekend outing. The thing is, though, I did not find out until about halfway through the movie that she had never seen the other two Deadpools. Here's the thing. Like, I know why she wanted to go see it, because ever since I was a kid, I knew for a fact that her celebrity crush was Hugh Jackman. Which, you know what? That's fair. You do you. So, honestly, like, her reaction to a lot of it was, like, she was, like, trying to wrap her head around it at first, but eventually she got into the groove of it, and yeah, it was just like, oh, man, that movie's a fucking blast. There are many things I wish to say but cannot in front of present company for reasons.
Now, the moral of the story is Disney needs to promote their hard R-rated movies a lot more, because it clearly worked here.
I mean, this weekend.
And how. Also, I've been trying to see, like, what's out there in terms of the anime season. I forget if I mentioned this, but I tried to watch my dear friend Nokotan, and,
I know, you didn't like it.
Yeah, not for me. But I did just watch, not too long ago, the first episode of Mayonaka Punch, and that absolutely is an anime for me. If you absolutely love watching, you know, trash fire human beings trying and failing at doing anything like It's Always Sunny, I approve. Although, to that one vampire chick, honey, why the fuck are you taking finance advice from YouTubers? Those fucking YouTube cash bros are more full of shit than the Arby's bathroom or something. And that's a lot of shit, because Arby's has the meats, I think. But yeah, fun time. I gotta watch more of that stuff. And maybe a few other things. I'm actually not entirely sure what the fully agreed upon gold gems of the season are. But that's neither here nor there. Now, with those formalities and such out of the way, let's move on to our usual weekly business, which of course as always starts with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us. Mark your calendars for new albums, put, you know, songs into your playlist, all that stuff. So, starting right here at the top, as we already know, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard are dropping their newest album August 9th titled Flight B741. And we have the second single here called Hog Calling Contest. So the last track we heard had a very throwback 70s folk rock feel. And that definitely holds true in this one with a very, like, jaunty folk, vaguely bordering on country rock-esque tempo. Real, like, rodeo hootenanny energy with the driving drum rhythm and that very fuzzed out guitar lick, plenty of hog calling and wild over the top vocals. It's a fun enough tune. I can vibe with this.
Yep, it is definitely more 70s-style rock that stays in its lane and talks about pigs flying. Very clever. I have nothing else to say about it other than I think I heard a Pink Floyd song like this once.
Yeah, speaking of Pink Floyd, Nick Mason, go to bed.
Yeah, do that too.
That's neither here nor there. Moving on to the next track here. So, 5 years ago, there was an album called Lux Prima, which was a collaboration between Yeah Yeah Yeah's singer Karen O and the producer Danger Mouse. And now it's been announced to be getting a deluxe reissue September 20th, complete with a couple of extra recordings, including a cover of Lou Reed's Perfect Day, a booklet depicting this big four-day listening event they have for the record, and this new song here that came out called Super Breath. The track makes use of a pretty steady rhythm section. The drums and bass hold it down very steadily and, you know, straightforwardly. There's the mix of, like, pianos and these ethereal drifting guitar melodies, predominantly in the chorus, so there is, like, this tweeting melody that kind of sounds like, well, given the main visual of the visualizer, it's kind of like a vague carnival circus type thing happening. But, I mean, I like it enough, I guess. I mean, that album was, you know, a pretty alright listen, and this is also an alright listen.
Yeah, I say, like, that's why who asked for Duty album a while back, and this is like, it's like something that, I know something that would have been, that I would have been on this album earlier, and it just had the very, you know, Danger Mouse aesthetic, got the very, you know, jazz, like jazzy, moody, well, jazzy vibe going on, like 70s psychedelic type of sound going on. Why give them? But yeah, that's all. But yeah, this is the right track. Like, all right, I can get this.
Cool. Now, moving on to the next track. This one comes courtesy of Tony Iommi, guitarist famous for his legendary tenure with the band Black Sabbath. Specifically noteworthy because he's literally the only consistent member who's appeared on every album.
even the flop era in the 90s. Ugh.
Man, he was really trying to truck through it. Seriously, I forget when I listened to the entire Black Sabbath discography, but getting to those albums was just, I needed a drink.
Yeah, it was rough.
But now that obviously all the band members are up doing their own things, it looks like Iommi here has a new endeavor where he's getting into the cologne game. Yeah, he's got a cologne brand out now, which, okay, I'm not saying this to be a dick. I'm asking this as an honest question. Do Sabbath fans even wear cologne?
I think they just wear like a dab of Old Spice, like the really strong one on their neck, because most of them are probably in their 70s.
Yeah, that was my guess too. But the brand is called Deified, and it comes courtesy of this promotional video with a song of the same name. And of course, it's this really grand, like, you know, classic metal instrumental, starting right off with a mix of symphonic strings with your pretty, like, standard fare Iommi riff and some pretty nice overdriven guitar soloing. The song continuing out from there with, like, you know, more epic symphonic elements with the organ keys, the choir vocals mixing into the fold that have that real haunting epic feel. The backing vocals in particular stand out as like the nicest touch in the song, and as a whole, it's a pretty solid like solo track, all things considered. But seriously, cologne?
Yeah, this is definitely the weirdest cologne commercial I've seen in quite a while, including the Johnny Depp cologne commercial for what's it called? Sausage?
Sausage.
Yeah,
but it's like breakfast.
Yeah. It's a good track on its own. I do like the fretless bass work on it in the beginning. It reminds me a little bit of like Sean Malone from Cynic.
Ah, nice. Now, moving on to the next track here. Speaking of guitarist solo efforts, looks like Alice in Chains vocalist and guitarist Jerry Cantrell has a new solo project dropping in October, on the 18th to be precise, titled I Want Blood. And it has quite a few well-known names contributing to it, like Duff McKagan of Guns N' Roses fame, Robert Trujillo of Metallica, Drummers like Mike Borden of Faith No More and Gil Sharon, known for his work on Team Sleep and playing on the third Dillinger album. And speaking of Dillinger, even some Greg Pucciato backing vocals on there. Production comes courtesy of Joe Barresi, whose discography includes the likes of Queens of the Stone Age's self-titled debut and Lullabies to Paralyze, Parkway Drive's Deep Blue, aka the last really good Parkway Drive album from 2010. Jesus, they've been sucking shit for 14 years. Goddamn. the past handful of Chevelle records, which, Slipknot's The End so far, and, oh god, that Last Avenged Sevenfold album, why? Okay, to his credit, though, I don't think any producer could have saved that train wreck.
No.
We live in hell world. But here we are with the lead-off single here, Vilified. And of course, it features Trujillo on bass and Sharon on the drums. And right away, the song delves into a lot of unusual time signatures, giving us mainly a 6-4 drum rhythm guitar riff that has this much choppier section that kind of feels like it's sort of cutting the beat off on, like, the downbeat or upbeat. I couldn't get the count on it exactly. I couldn't count that fast. That's kind of hard for me. Like, I could feel it, but I couldn't count it that fast. The guitar interplay is fairly solid with how the rhythm and leads all work together, especially when you kind of get that mix of really heavy riffs and weird melodies on, like, the actual 4-4 bridge prior to the solo. I think it's got a solid enough momentum to it, and if nothing else, I honestly kind of liked it way more than what we got on that last Alice in Chains album. Does anyone even remember Rainier Fog?
Not really.
Yeah.
But yeah, so do you know what Alice in Chains sounds like with more of a metal edge to it? That's what this is. And it's as great as it is solid. Like, some of the harmony vocals sounds like a peak era Alice in Chains, which I'm into. And also, yeah, Greg Pucciato on the album doing backing vocals. I'm interested.
Yeah, that's going to be the one I'll look out for. Keep it in the realm of very loud music. So, as we've mentioned a while back, the noise rock act Uniform have a new album coming out August 23rd called American Standard. And then we have single number 2 here called Permanent Embrace. And it rips right out of the gate on this very aggressively pummeling 6-8 rhythm. The bass tone is quite thick with multiple C's. The guitars chug away with this very satisfying chunky tone to the production. The drums mix in plenty of kicks and toms, pounding away throughout the runtime. And that's pretty much only about the first minute and a half. The song then switches to, like, the other section, which is kind of like this mix of soaring, menacing keys and these kind of pummeling blast beats akin to, like, your typical, like, underground black metal act as it kind of switches back and forth between those two forms of abrasive barrage. And, yeah, it's quite the acquired taste, but that's pretty much exactly how I like it with bands like this.
Yeah, so this is definitely a you song, because to me this sounds like a mix of Idols and Godflesh, and I'm not sure I'm into that combination. Like, it's got a very heavy groove to it, and it's chock full of industrial idiosyncrasies, but aside from that, I don't have much to say. Let me explain it like this. It's like me seeing, like, a souped-up pickup truck. Yes, it's cool to look at, and it probably handles very well, but I kind of don't want to drive it.
Fair enough. Idols, that's an interesting comparison, but anyway, let's move on to the next couple of tracks here. So, 3 years ago, the music world was suddenly hit with news of the accidental death of Sophie, a producer/DJ from Scotland who fell to her death at the all-too-young age of 34. Jesus, I'm like 4 years away.
Oh, fuck, I'm gonna be 34 this year.
Yeah, that's a sad thing to think about, and despite her solo discography only having, like, one album, a compilation, and a remix, her efforts did spread pretty far beyond that, often being credited as, you know, a pioneering figure in the hyperpop genre, and having produced for plenty of artists, including some pretty big names like Vince Staples, Charlie XCX, and even Madonna, to name a few. So it's probably not too surprising, though, with, like, as prolific as her work is, that she'd have enough material for a posthumous release to be made of her work. Specifically, it's a self-titled project coming out September 27th, has the approval of her family. I forget who specifically is putting all this together, but I do know we have at least two tracks to actually talk about here. So the first is called Berlin Nightmare, which features contributions from Evita Manji, who was Sophie's partner back when she was back when they were alive. So this is a pretty dark, minimal sort of song, being very percussion and bass heavy, bouncing back and forth with a lot of these like skittering drum machine snares and hi-hats, along with other distorted percussion effects and that rumbling bass synth. Specifically, it pretty much goes back and forth between like these like minimally glitchy melodic sections and segments that are just pure rhythm, with the occasional like vocal punctuation in between. And then the other track here, called One More Time, which features contributions from someone named Popstar. So, like, the first minute plus of the song has this very kind of stuttering synth melody with an unconventional volume that kind of, like, starts off mid-volume, but then kind of gradually hushes, like it's being muted and faded into the background. Eventually getting a sudden swell in volume at the two-minute mark, as this disconnected voice starts repeating the song's title, and then bringing in a proper drum rhythm to give the song a bit more body with the actual, like, with this actual change in melody as well. It's a very, very strange, like I said, you could tell it's kind of a bit minimal in its soundscape, but there's still a lot of, like, detail and stuff going on, and it certainly makes for a very interesting couple of listens.
Yeah, I will say, for One More Time, I was wondering what the hell's going on, and I wondered if it's a volume up or something. I wonder, is it on mute? Okay, no, it's not on mute. Like, I did wonder, like, why is a little bit like, okay, because that's part of the song, which, yeah, One More Time is a bit more, you know, more hushed and quiet in a way until we get the 2 minute mark and, you know, things just start to kick up there. Burn Nightmare is, you know, more, well, I'll say in comparison to One More Time, is, well, got more going on, sort of, what he's got more, well, sound-wise going on, but that's like something that'll play in a dark nightclub, which, I mean, I sort of got that vibe from that, but, yeah, these are interesting listens, and they're pretty solid.
It's dark, it's brooding, it teeters on the edge of IDM. It's very good.
Yep. Not bad. Moving on to the next track here. So, it's been a few years since the last record from the post-hardcore act Touche Amore, by which I mean that last album came out in the year that was and also wasn't. 2020. Anyway. But now we have an album in the pipeline for this year, came courtesy of, you know, like, a whole bunch of other nice announcements, including, like, a whole-ass tour. So, the album is called Spiral in a Straight Line, it's coming out October 11th, and we have the lead-off single here, Nobodies. And this is some pretty prime post-hardcore right here. If you've been following Touche Amore, then you have a pretty solid idea of what to expect here. It keeps things at a concise 2 minutes 15 seconds. The guitars have that exact right tone of melancholy, both in the production and the actual chords they're playing. Plenty of fuzz while letting the leads drift ethereally against the backdrop of this very steady set of drums and bass guitars. The vocals have that exact kind of melodic gruffness you would want to sort of bring out the melancholy of the lyrics and everything. Yeah, it's Touche Amore. Pretty good. Not much else to add.
I will agree with that. It's a bit on the shorter side from what I was expecting, but this was still very good. It's got all those deep emotional layers of grit in the vocals that appeal to my ears quite nicely. But as for what doesn't appeal to my ears,
y'all got me for what happened last week or the week ago, but I don't know. You had to put this one on here?
Look, I needed something, okay? So, yeah, in case there's some of you out there that haven't been made aware yet, Post Malone's going country for some reason.
Considering he had that one song on the wall with number one, thankfully Shaboozy ended that.
Thankfully.
Thank you, Shaboozy.
Thank you.
But yeah, he's got a new album coming August 16th called F1 Trillion. And we have single number 3 here from the record, because I, you know, skipped out on the other two. I guess this one I decided to be generous. So here's the thing. So far, for all the singles released, he's had big name country singers doing guest features with him. On the song prior to this, it was Blake Shelton. Before that, it was fucking Morgan Wallen.
Go away, you fucking asshole!
Of course, it's him. He's always Morgan Wallen. He's everywhere.
And
in the bathroom.
Oh god, I don't want to see him in there. And now it's Luke Combs with this new song here called Guy for That. And, you know, I feel like it sets the tone perfectly that the music video basically gives us a poop joke right before the song starts. It is definitely one of the modern country songs of all time. Not much to say in terms of the instrumentation, and as for the lyrics, it's basically about how they pretty much know a guy that can help them fix pretty much every problem they have in their life, but not someone who could fix any relationship problems they might be having. And you know that metaphor works and makes sense in context, because I totally didn't have to go to the Genius page to figure out that was the point.
So let's see the trajectory here. We've gone from indie lo-fi hip hop to more rock elements to now pop and country. Do I dare ask what's next?
I wouldn't.
I don't know.
Just why?
I mean, it's a modern country song. Yeah, I mean, it's a country song, all right.
The song is like Applebee's and Chicken Fingers. It exists. Moving on.
Yeah. So, not much else to add there. I do want to make a quick comment. So, I posted this in, like, a Discord server I'm in with some people, and my roommate, specifically the one that you have all heard interrupt this podcast with hijinks and shenanigans, specifically responded with a weirdly enthusiastic gif of a raccoon clapping mischievously, and I gotta say, I do not think this song is mischievous raccoon worthy. I know that's gonna be a hot take, but it is not worthy of that. But that pretty much about does it for the new song discussion. We're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we have the news, so stay tuned. And we're back. So, only a few news topics here, but I do think there's some stuff to note here. So, first of all, let's have some movie talk here. So, looks like Tubi, one of the underappreciated outlets in the world of streaming, apparently also has, like, a film production side where they make original movies.
Apparently so.
Yeah, we're only finding this out because they have a film scheduled to be... But anyway, at least according to this Metal Sucks piece we're citing, there's a movie they have coming out in theaters September 6th called The Thicket. Now, for a bit of context, this is an adaptation of a novel from 2014 about a man trying to rescue his kidnapped sister from a traveling group of bank robbers. Some pretty gnarly Western stuff. Apparently, the film has been in development since at least 2014, mainly due to the constant attachment of the name Peter Dinklage, who is still cast in this movie. So, I will say, as a movie, the trailer looks like it could be a pretty solid as far as, like, a pretty gritty, you know, Western could be concerned. I mean, if nothing else, Peter Dinklage is usually damn good at whatever role he's in, so that's gotta be worth it. And there's also the other reason that we're putting it here on the docket, because apparently the film is the latest, I don't know if it's the first, but it does feature an acting performance by none other than Metal Grandpa James Hetfield.
Yes. Yes, it does. He's in the trailer shooting a gun at somebody. Not the first time he's done acting. He was in a movie about Ted Bundy. I forget the name of the movie, but he's played like a cop in the movie. He's done some voice acting roles. He was in the Skylanders Netflix series, if you can believe it.
I don't believe... Run that by me again?
Yeah, there was a Skylanders animated series on Netflix, and he had a role in it.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's done a little bit of acting here and there, because why not? And, yeah, it's like a gritty, you know, snowy Western movie. It looks fine. It's probably worth checking out at least once.
Now, the important question is, will it eventually be free on Tubi?
Presumably. You never know, though.
These are the questions that need to be answered. But, of course, that leaves us to move on to the next couple of topics, which concern one of the big global events that pretty much everyone pays attention when it happens. That, of course, being the 2024 Summer Olympics, which kicked off this past Friday in good old Paris. Well, Paris, France, you know what I mean. So, quite a lot of discussion. I mean, it is the Olympics, so, you know, you're going to have all kinds of competition. You're going to have ceremonies. You're going to have, you know, brands pimping themselves out to hell and back. So, let's actually talk about some of that brand pimping and the like. That was a weird choice of words. But, so, of course, we have a Coca-Cola promotional song here to talk about, which comes courtesy of the efforts of Gwen Stefani and Anderson .Paak.
Okay, that's a weird, interesting, weird combination. Then I forget Gwen Stefani used to actually do something for Black people.
Yeah,
you know.
And I don't know. Maybe .Paak is still going through whatever like heartbreak he was experiencing on Y Law. So, I mean, good for you. Get that bag, dude. I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get that. Coke. Never mind.
Yeah. Never mind.
But, yeah, as for the, you know, the song itself, it's literally nothing special. I mean, it's your stereotypical, like the song itself is this, like, sort of pop disco throwback thing that sounds like a Dua Lipa B-side. The lyrics are all, like, you know, stereotypically inspirational and crap, and just, it's fine. It's literally, like, this is the textbook definition of sponsored by Coca-Cola. I don't know what else you want me to say.
It's definitely very generic, considering who produced it, which is, oh, is Ryan Tedder of One Republic.
Oh, goody.
Fine.
I mean, at least it sounds better than the ending of a Captain number 8.
I am so glad I don't have to hear those songs for another 12 weeks. Though I am quietly shivering at whatever I have to hear for season 2.
Let's hope it's something better. But yeah, the song is... It exists. It is pure pop fluff.
It's just there. Yeah,
it's there to serve a purpose. But, you know, it just makes us want something a little sharper. Something with some more teeth to it. Something a bit grittier.
Yeah, so let's of course get to the big source of the discourse, TM. So,
oh god,
we had the actual opening ceremony on Friday, of course, and it was surprisingly star-studded. I mean, you had the likes of, you know, French singer Slimane, you had American pop stars like Lady Gaga, and even Celine Dion to help close things out, I think.
But respect her name in this house! She deserves the world!
Okay, fair enough. I did not realize there were strong opinions about Celine Dion here.
I saw the documentary on Amazon Prime, and it was heartbreaking.
I'll have to keep that in mind for the future. But all the focus was on a very notable highlight, and a notable first in the history of the ceremony, because for the first time in the history of the Olympics, the opening ceremony featured a metal band. And since we are literally having this set in France, who else answered the call but French metal icons Gojira? And boy, did they make this first time spotlight count for all it was worth. So let's run down the important information. So the song they performed was a cover of Asaira.
Asaira.
Okay, Asaira. Which is a song whose roots date back all the way to the days of the French Revolution. Fairly well known, to the point where it was even said that, you know, the famous Marie Antoinette knew how to play it on the harpsichord. Which is the name I bring up because the musical performance was also decked out in the imagery of several women dressed up as duplicates of Marie Antoinette holding her own decapitated head.
Yeah. Interesting bit of context. The castle that this was set at was the same castle she was executed in.
Yes, specifically the remains of the Conciergerie. And, yeah, this was taking place over side the River Seine. There was even a opera singer named Marina Viotti. So much pyro, bright red streams. It was just an absolute feast for the eyes. And holy shit, I gotta tell you, pretty much everyone I knew that's like a metalhead was going nuts about this, was going fucking hog wild. Like, this thing was a goddamn fucking event, the likes of which I'm not sure we'll see for a while. And you know what? Well deserved. Well played, Gojira. You absolutely brought the fucking riffs.
Yeah, this was great. If only the commentators could have shut their fucking mouths during it.
Oh boy.
God, yeah. I was trying to find clips of, like, you know, decent audio, no commentary, but, like, goddamn, that was so hard to find.
It is very hard to find Olympic footage outside of the U.S. because the IOC is very, very stringent and very, very litigious with footage of their events. Like, if you find a clip of it without commentary, save it and download it immediately. It will go away within a matter of days.
And how? But yeah, absolutely stellar moment in the history of metal. But I probably should not be surprised that this has led to the existence of, and I quote, discourse.
Oh, God. Okay.
From the perpetually bored online who, you probably won't be surprised if I tell you that there's a bunch of shitsters who are convinced that this is some kind of satanic ritual.
Yeah, including, let me check my notes here, noted All That Remains fan Tim Pool, whose opinion to me means less than dirt.
Oh, God, fuck you and the beanie you're tweeting while wearing, dude.
Yeah, and yeah, between all of that nonsense and the usual suspects complaining about the fact that there were apparently drag queens during the opening ceremony, all of them who are just spouting off, oh, look what they're doing! Won't somebody please think of the children? As if anybody gives a solitary fuck about what a flame-out swimmer who came in 7th place and lost to a trans woman who came in 6th place in a race thinks. Who cares what fucking Tim Pool of all people thinks, or fucking Elon thinks, or lest we forget, Rob Schneider is a fucking asshole whose career is going in a downward spiral.
Rated PG-13.
All of these people share one collective brain cell and it's being put to terrible use.
Yeah. And here's the part that's most baffling to me. And I'm not the first person to point this out. Several people have made this observation, including labor columnist and music journalist Kim Kelly. Why are you trying to apply the satanic panic argument to Gojira of all bands? Like, okay, it would be one thing if this was, like, my band. Because, for context, I have mentioned this many times, I play in a death metal band, and we mainly play songs that are about, like, serial killers and horrific real-life events. So, technically not Satanism, but vile enough to be in a shared ballpark. Like they're neighbors in the same apartment complex. But, like, Gojira? They write songs about, like, cosmic whales and, like, protecting the environment and shit. So, like, you know, not to downplay the impressiveness of their music, because they have some great fucking music. But, like, in terms of what they actually sing about, the intensity of it is pretty tame compared to some of the gruesome shit that more extreme metal bands have, you know, screamed about in, like, fucking back alley bars to, like, 20 people. Come on!
So, in other words... Okay, so in other words, you know, think, you think, it was like, you think we'll be playing your satanic? Be looking to play your honest shit.
Yeah, number one, if you want to bring up that argument, take it to bands who deserve it, like Mayhem or Einstein Kills. Because, like, nobody wants to hear crappy metal songs about horror movies. And number two, considering the fact that these people are bringing up that old subject from the 1980s all over again, we are so fucking back, baby! Yeah! Billions of people saw that performance and it was great. Let the interest come on in. We welcome you all with open arms. Just avoid, you know, the crappy bands like Falling in Reverse and Motionless in White and Iceland Kills, and basically any band that has three names, be very careful. Three words in their name, be very careful.
Ugh. God, yeah, fuck those guys. But, yeah, that's certainly, that's gonna be one of the highlights of the year for me. Like, man, we're just like, we're eating good tonight.
It only took, 400 years to happen.
Yeah. But, God, I wonder what they're gonna do for the closing ceremonies.
Hopefully it'll be better than when we saw Muse at the 2012 closing ceremonies.
Wait, that was a thing that happened?
That was a thing that happened, yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah, I don't want to think about stuff like that. So, yeah, that pretty much... oh yeah, did we mention Snoop Dogg with the Olympic torch?
Oh yeah, that was...
Oh yeah! Cool.
Yeah, that was cool. Snoop Dogg with the torch, Flavor Flav, just hanging out in the crowds... Yeah, it's been a fun time.
That sounds like fun.
It certainly does. But, yeah, that's pretty much all the news topics out of the way. We only have one last brief thing to touch on here, and that is the new album releases for the week of August 2nd, 2024. Not really much, literally only three things, but, yeah, whatever. So, there's a new Smashing Pumpkins album, unfortunately, called Agori Mori Mei. There's a new album from the singer Khalid with Sincere, and then there's the, I guess, complete version of Orville Peck's Stampede. I thought it was going to be a Volume 2 thing, but I guess he's releasing Volumes 1 and 2 now as a complete thing at the same time. It's called Stampede. That's all you need to know.
Okay. Well, I did find one more that's coming out this week, and this is very sudden, and this is currently on NFR.
It's always NFR!
Yeah, a new one from a person you heard in a while, JPEG Mafia. I lay down my life for you.
Oh, yeah, he's still around.
Okay, Peggy, we're giving you one chance to redeem yourself. Don't fuck it up.
Yeah. But, yeah, now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here, so, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
Well, still, for the time being, this show, my other show, the Discord, other Discords, and other places, maybe. I don't know. I'm trying to sort things out because my head's kind of fucked right now. Okay, guys?
I have several concerns.
Same here.
Yeah, anyway, Mark, what about you?
As usual, messing me on whether you can find me because I just post shit in that now and then. I don't know. Although, on my website, myhyperwarpress.com, where I finally put the final chapter of my story series that I have delayed many times because I just, the Spreading Kid final chapter, that's up. It's up right now. That story, one other shit.
All right, cool, cool. And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Blue Sky, etc., at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@sewerresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @SewerReso. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website, sewerresolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast, O&A, all that good stuff. And, of course, remember to find the link to our Discord server there, so you can always be immediately notified whenever new things go up on the site. Well, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual business. And until then, Rooster Fighter Anime! Rooster Fighter Anime! Rooster Fighter Anime! Caw-caw, motherfuckers!
Fun times.